Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut it! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there's Rex Hupke. And as I'm speaking, I'm looking at there's always a TV screen that's running right over Hupke's head. So sometimes I zone out and don't listen to him and just look at that TV. And the first Cadbury commercial of the season is on over his head, the one in which the lion is wearing the little bunny ears and tries to bawk bawk with lion noises. Anyway, that's where I'm at today.
Yes, more Cadbury, please.
Anyway, hi Hupke, how you doing?
I've had better weeks, if we're being totally honest. But
yeah,
you know,
so there's some things. I mean, obviously, we have a lot to talk about with the Florida school shooting that occurred. Although this is one of those stories where I don't tend to weigh in too much because it's already all being said. One of those like big stories that suddenly like it sits, it's huge, and then within a day or two, there's all these arms of it, of the secondary story. We're talking student activism. We're talking, you know, all these other pieces, politicalness, politicizing, major tragic events. And, you know, there's so much to it. There's social media memes. There's so much going on that's now these, like this whole smattering of secondary stories that's really interesting. So I don't tend to weigh in much because honestly, like you just look through Twitter and you're like, well, that's everything is represented already. I'm only adding to the noise. I don't have a unique thing to say. And that's my thing is I won't generally weigh in unless I feel like it's, you know, I have something more to add to it. I don't want to just echo.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I agree.
So
I don't know if I always do that necessarily, but I try to. I try to say something different, but yeah, you're right. There's when it's this all encompassing and all consuming. Yeah, it can be kind of hard to go somewhere where somebody hasn't already gone.
Right.
But I just, you know, when this happened. And then we started to see the way these kids were responding, which was incredibly powerful, in my opinion, and brave, and almost amazing, frankly. I mean, you put me in a place where 17 people I know get killed, and I get shot at, and I'm hiding in a closet or under a desk or something like that, and I'm not moving for like a month or so, probably, and barely. I mean, I'm a complete mess, and to see these people who frankly should be too young to even be kind of hitting these notes and having these understandings of things and saying things that are just shockingly cogent and smart, and to see them jump up, to see how prepared they are, their social media smarts, and you know, just pretty much
their
everything
resilience
about them.
I mean, yeah. I hope that this is not all, this tremendous activism and leadership is not coming at the expense of their healing. I don't get that sense. I do get the sense that this is, in fact, also healing.
Yeah,
and that there are other pieces, you know, we don't need to know every detail of everyone's life and it's not owed to us.
Sure.
So I think there are other pieces going, but...
yeah, I think that this is, I think that they just, and you know, I hadn't thought about it, but I think it makes sense, really, that eventually... There would be I think we as adults had always expected a turning point on guns, but that would come from us or from lawmakers or from people who, grown-ups who just couldn't take it anymore. I never saw the turning point, and I don't know if this is one for sure, but I mean, it's certainly some interesting and important stuff going on. I didn't see it coming from the kids, and that is underestimating them, I think. And so perhaps, maybe this is just happens to be a unique set of kids or whatever, but you know, it kind of feels like one of these things happened and finally the kids were just like, okay, enough, and you assholes aren't doing enough so we're gonna stand up and try to do something. And I find that very inspiring.
Right. And I think it, you know, I think we sort of talked about this a little bit before in the show about how like narratives tangle things up and sometimes solidify things even your sometimes solidify your opposition's narrative by jumping on a thing. And one that's always bothered me is the immediately, and we saw this on this one too, this kind of thing where immediately people go, oh, and here we go again. We'll talk about this for 2 weeks and then it'll go away. Mm-hmm. And I've been guilty of that on some things before, of saying, like, you know, let this not fade. Let us stay this flipped out about, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes the we'll do nothing, the NRA is too powerful, I think that narrative of just kind of throwing your hands up, I think that's only solidified, you know, the solidified in people's minds on all areas of politics, the strength of the NRA. And I think yeah. it gives it a lot more oomph than it perhaps should have. Mm-hmm. It is by no means a minor organization or something to be ignored. But I think sometimes we give it a lot more power by saying, ah, the NRA is too big. We can't tackle it. We can't do anything. Here we go again. We'll talk about this for 2 weeks and then it'll go away. I think that only adds to this feeling of there's nothing you can do about it. Even though I think it's said in exasperation by people that want to do something about it, I think, in fact, it does solidify the idea that you can't do anything. So I am thrilled to see that these kids have done this, and I'm excited for the, you know what I mean? Like, excited is not the word, because it's not like happy, but you know what I mean. I'm yeah. hopeful for them,
right,
that they're, you know, being so on. So they're bringing a game to this in such a thoughtful way. They got a huge boost from George and Amal Clooney, donated $500,000. Oprah matched it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else jumped in. Too.
Yeah, I would say there was a third. But like, so they're getting money to do it right and well, and I have. I mean, as soon as, what was her name? Emma Gonzalez. As soon as she started talking, people started tweeting, like, who is this woman?
Right.
Can we vote her into something right away?
Yeah.
Like, clearly, like, what leadership has been called up in this young woman that, you know, I mean, I was thinking about that last night in terms of, you know, reading a little bit about these kids and who they are and just finding out a little more about them. And I thought, you know, what, this is going to be so interesting how history treats them, how the rest of their lives go, because this could very well be one of those, and, you know, baptism by fire, and then suddenly I was a politician overnight because of this. Like, I can just see that story playing out. Like, well, I thought I would study math, but then this happened, and I decided
sure.
this, of this real watershed moment in their lives. So it'll be interesting to see. But for the immediate, I think I'm very disappointed in the insane backlash. That is, it's fine to disagree with them, but like, some people are holding public office just mocking them,
yeah,
which is so irresponsible and so shitty, and that's so inexcusable. Then layer on top of that this narrative of they're actors. Are you serious? Like, that's absolutely outrageous. That's also, have you ever seen a school production of anything? It's excruciating.
Yeah, right.
High school actors are bad.
Yeah, this would be the one school where they're actually quite good, apparently.
Right.
But and that's where, you know, I had this, you know, so as this stuff started to bubble up, I had this moment of sort of unusual for the time that we're in hopefulness, because I saw, you know, I was like, wow, look at it. And I thought, naively, mm-hmm. that they're rising up, they're saying something that needs to be said, and there's no way people can attack them, because these are children, and they just survived a damn school shooting and mm-hmm. lost 17 of their friends and teachers, etc. So not only are they doing the right thing, but they're kind of unimpeachable. And then, whoop,
wrong,
dummy, sure as hell, along comes Gateway Pundit, conservative mm-hmm. lying shit blog that has White
right.
House press credentials.
Right.
Think about
right.
that for a second.
Right.
A blogger who is constantly putting up crap.
Yeah.
Anti-Muslim,
yeah.
anti-every fucking thing.
And has
thing,
White House
and has
press
White
credentials.
House press credentials.
Right.
Puts together doctored video of one of the kids, one of the children, who has the guts to stand up and talk about this stuff, and creates this whole story about how the kid's dad is an FBI agent,
yeah.
so of course the fix is in, blah, blah, blah. They're
right.
being fed lines. They're
oh,
yada.
My God.
And then, I mean, look, at what other point in history would that kind of trash ever rise above, you know, a bunch of nutters sitting in a alley chatting about something? I mean, you
I
know,
mean,
like,
think about just this part, that like, what a standard, a lowered standard this person is being held to. If any other journalist for any publication whether or not you are, you have a White House press credential, whether or not you are a White House correspondent, anybody doctors video.
Yeah.
You're in a world of shit.
Of course, yeah.
You're done.
Right.
You're so fired, you're done. And not only are you fired from that news organization,
you're never getting
another. You're never, you just should go to another field. You cannot get another journalism job. Whether that's like, that's anything, anything, even like a very light story, if you like a fluff story, even then, if you doctor video, you are so done.
Yeah.
But this person is not being held to that standard at all. And that's so infuriating.
And not only not being held to that standard, the president's adult son shared that
who is
damn,
an idiot
shared the story and I mean, and that's where I also took, so I went again, I went from kind of like, oh man, maybe things are going to be all right, to like, god damn it, look what the hell's going on. And you know, you take a few steps back from that. Again, when in history would it not be a massive scandal that the son of the president of the United States is sharing and pushing and adopting a lunatic conspiracy against kids that just survived a damn shooting. I mean, it's absolutely reprehensible on every possible level. And to have the son of the president do that, it just makes me absolutely sick. And it also makes me think, like, okay, what chance does like truth have or anything now? I mean, how do you, or how do we, how do these kids fight against that, you know? Right. And I know there are far more people that know that's wrong than there are who think that's right. But the volume of the ones
right, that it's allowed to persist at all.
It's just sickening.
And not immediately treated like this person spouting this is wearing a tinfoil hat. That it's not immediately treated that way is really appalling. Agreed.
That was when I tweeted out that I would like, my current status was wants to fist fight everyone.
Yes, I saw that.
I was very mad. I was so mad.
You've been doing some fine work on Twitter this week.
I mean, I've just been so, I generally keep it together fairly well, but I just, the past 2 days, I can't, because these are kids, and it kills me, and what they've been through, and I mean.
Well, and we're at a moment where we're not, it's not just about disagreement. You know, where it's that one, we know the ground rules. We know how to negotiate that. If someone just comes in here and they're like, I think this. And you're like, well, I think this. But to straight up, that's not true.
Well, and
like,
also, right.
Things that are so, like, this is WGN. No, it's not. It's WLS. Yeah. No, it's not. It's WGN. No.
It's like I think this. And the other person says, well, the moon is made of cheese. And I mean, it's like,
it's something, so it's preposterous that you, but yet, it, as you said, it's the volume of people that, and I don't mean number, I mean volume and decibel.
Yeah, exactly.
That, and the public, the size of the platforms those people are holding, that you're like, it's kind of unassailable. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, if the president of the United States and his relatives are going here.
Yeah, exactly. And tell me for a second that you don't think Trump is likely to wind up going there too. I mean,
of course.
You know, it strikes me as a matter of time before he's going to somehow hint in that sort of.
There
bullshit.
Was fault on both sides, or
something. Yeah, that sort like of equivocating, you know, that way that he says things where he can back away from it if he needs to and say, well, I didn't mean that, or what. It's just.
Yeah.
I have a lot of rage.
Yeah. So that continues to unfold. I have hope for that these kids will prevail. I think a lot of people have their backs, and a lot of people have been tweeting really supportive messages and sharing and crowdfunding. And I think, you know, I was talking about this the other day before all this happened in terms of, you know, there's a lot of conversation around Me Too saying, well, in the Trump era, all these women have been running for office. But I'm coming to a place where these two tie together, and it's not enough to run for office. We actually have to help people win.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. Sure, it's right. Not enough to just, and then they were activists. Mm-hmm. We need to help, we who can vote, we need to help them make sure it lands and it works. And, you know, there's a photo from, you know, there they were as the gavel bang happens and nothing moved, and this kind of disappointing look on their faces. But it has to, we who can vote, and those with resources, not just the Clooneys and Winfreys, but other people, you know, need to really make sure that the kid's message lands. And I think, you know, part of that is urgency. Part of that is not being complacent with it. And I know it's overwhelming. It's easy to look at Twitter. I look at Twitter every single morning and go, Jesus Christ, this is terrible.
What has God wrought?
Right. Every single morning I go, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because like, I scroll and I'm like, yep. Okay, good. Let's start the day, Amy. This sounds great.
You know, that's a really good point. I think I'm the same way. Like when I, what goes through my head as after I wake up, because I usually look fairly early.
Right. As soon as I get up, I'm like, what's happening in the world?
And I always think, let's see what kind of fresh hell we got now. Because I never think, I wonder what's happening. Or just like something mundane. It's always...
I'm naive enough to still go, wonder what's happening. No. I'm like, oh, right.
Everything sucks. But the thing about... just real quick. The thing about these kids, too, that I love is they may be the... They're perfectly designed to not give three shits about the trolling that they're getting. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
Because they've grown up with it.
Yeah.
And they know how to bet. Like, for example, Bill O'Reilly, he of the $30+ million sexual harassment settlements fired from Fox News, shouldn't even be talking. He sent some kind of a tweet.
I hope that's on a business card somewhere.
Yeah, it should be. He just sent a tweet.
Full
saying,
name.
Yes, full title. He sent a tweet saying something to the effect of, you know, should the media really be listening to these emotional children? And
I saw it.
one of the higher profile students from Parkland retweeted it and just said, yeah, probably. That's all.
Yeah, they're
just, I mean, they're sharp and they like, mm-hmm. This is their wheelhouse.
Yes.
And people are going to find it a difficult group to cow, you know?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, and I want to transition to the Twitter bot story because that is delightful.
Yeah, it is. It's
but
hilarious.
On that note, there is an interesting, you know, when you say something that is of consequence, you sometimes realize quickly that it's best if you don't look at Twitter for the next couple days.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Uh-huh.
I wrote a piece about Prince Harry and got that. It wasn't even about Prince Harry. It was just the news hook. It was about rote and
right.
Making decisions by rote and how we're just mindless consumers.
Uh-huh.
But still, it was like 4 days. Like I was like, I'm not even look at Twitter because it was like, whatever. But the phrase that I really love is like RIP my mentions or there go my mentions, because that's an interesting phrase because it is, and I'm overthinking things as I do, but I like to explore what language means, and it's very honest. It's asking for support without really saying like, guys, this is happening. I need some support. You're just kind of saying like, but it's also kind of owning that you just said something of consequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting phrase because it's not the same as like, I wrote this piece and I'm getting killed on Twitter. It's not the same as that at all.
Oh no, definitely.
RIP my mentions just means like, I said something that's pissing people off. Good for me. Bad for them, bad for my mentions. I'm going to peace out for a little bit, potentially. Let's laugh about it. Like, it's there's a lot of stuff caught up in that one phrase that I think is really interesting and powerful.
Yeah, I think there's a little bring it on in that, too.
A little bring it on, a little bit of y'all got my back, a little bit of a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff captured in that one little phrase.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're really right. Because, yeah, I know the times that I've used that, it's been like, you know, basically, you know, to... double birds and I'm walking
away. It's a podcast, Rex. They can't actually see you flipping me off there.
Yes. For the record, I just gave Amy the double birds, which are far worse than the single bird.
Sure. Okay, so let's talk about Twitter. So a bunch of people woke up.
Half bird.
Thank you. That would be a great podcast. Let's just flip each other off on a podcast for 10 minutes. And people are going to love that.
Hupke flicks Goof off.
Do you say flick or flip?
Flicks.
I say flip.
Really?
Flip now we're off? Just flipping each other off.
Flick off. Flick off. I guess you're right. Maybe it is flip.
No, yeah,
you're right.
It's flip. We're flipping the bird at each other.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I said flick.
Because you flip it. You flip your hand up. You don't flick. You flick a booger. You flip the bird.
That's right. I apologize. I regret the error.
I regret the error, too. Okay, so the hashtag Twitter lockout. If you have not looked at it, please do so because you will laugh. It is very funny.
It'll make you so happy. Send a wambulance.
Right. Like people that have called many of us snowflakes.
Yeah.
In particular, I'm thinking about the last time I was really called a snowflake was when I retweeted a story about the Trump kids, the Trump boys going to shoot prairie dogs. And I was like, oh my God, this makes me want to cry. Because the story was about what happens. The prairie dog body explodes.
Right.
It doesn't just drop like a human. Like, it explodes. And so it's like, and they have really complex social systems. They even will protect each other with their bodies. Like, they do a lot of very human stuff and social stuff. And so I was like, this makes me want to cry. They're very sophisticated social systems. Like, they know what's happening. Oh my God. It was like, oh, Snowflake, I bet you don't cry about them killing rats in your house. And I was like, "What? I don't have rats in my house because I clean it, weirdo." Like, it was all this insane stuff like being thrown at me. But the same people that end every tweet, even if it's like, I got up and went to the grocery store today, MAGA. Like, we'll just put MAGA on every single tweet.
Yeah.
Same group. They, oh my God, there's so much whining and crying. They're calling it censorship.
Yeah.
Well, and saying, like, we've been censored for being pro-Trump.
Right.
No. What happened was Twitter has removed a bunch of accounts they believe are Russian bots. And therefore, plenty of people lost dozens, hundreds, some in some cases, thousands of followers overnight. And so the first thing you see is, like, people catch on, like, oh, this is a thing Twitter's doing. People are upset about it. This is kind of funny to watch them squirm. And then the second thing is you see a lot of people going, yeah, I didn't lose any followers. Yeah, right. So right away, I'm like, I don't think I have any bot followers. I checked. I was like, didn't lose a single one.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
And then it's far more enjoyable. I was like, okay, I was not impacted. Let's go.
Yeah,
even if you lost half your followers, who gives a damn? It's Twitter. Who cares?
Yeah, the outrage. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. We are being censored.
Yeah, they said it was, you know, their target. I mean, you talk about instant conspiracy theory bait. That was it. They're like, oh, Twitter is, I mean, this has only happened to conservatives. But it's because you idiots are the ones that the Russian bots are trying to amplify. So they're the ones that were, you know, following you, retweeting your crap, et cetera.
So, like, here's an example. I just want to, like, read one. So this is Corey Reynolds. He's Corey Reynolds LA on there. Trumpers, try to understand. The followers you are losing tonight are not real people. They were bots, and Twitter decided enough was enough. You aren't being censored. You are being awakened to the fact, all caps fact, that you were engaging with hostile foreign agents. Hashtag Twitter lockout. Now go into the mentions. Go into the replies to that. And one of the, like, right away, because there's thousands of them on this. All caps. Fake news. I personally know all 149K. My followers are real people with skin and stuff. But why were only 26 suspended? Like, there's a lot of this mocking this, but then there's some legitimate, no, you don't understand. You're part of the conspiracy.
Right.
I'm like, this is outrageous fun.
Yeah, yeah. So get the popcorn.
Oh, God.
Watch this one unfold. Because, yeah, that, I mean, and somebody else tweeted an excellent point, which said that to fix this, all that the, if somebody is not a bot and was removed for some reason, they only have to put in a valid phone number to correct the problem.
That's all
and
you got to do.
Right back. But that didn't happen. And you don't hear and you don't hear people. I mean, nobody is saying, like, oh, I know my friend. 12 of my friends got kicked
out. My poor friend.
There are no.
People are just like, right. I lost followers.
Right.
No one's saying, like, my brother has been kicked off of Twitter.
Yeah,
no, no, no.
There's
nobody's,
no humans behind this.
No. Oh, my God. And it is, like, outrageously funny.
It's like saying, they murdered my Roomba.
Right. And that's the thing. It's again, it's like this refusal to look at truth and facts.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, so many of these people could be, like, invited to Twitter, be allowed to push the damn button themselves and say, like, this is what we're doing. Let me show you. Here's an account that was following you. Clearly, I know that this woman in a bikini said she loved you and couldn't wait to meet you on Twitter, but she's not a real person.
Right.
Because often that's what the bots do with the, you know, bikini photos,
yeah.
Right? So, like, I'm sorry to break it to you, but in fact, we are, like, even if you confronted someone with step by step, like, look, 50 of your followers in bikinis have all the same photo, mm-hmm. So we're going to get rid of those accounts. I'm being censored. Like,
yeah.
The refusal to accept information blows my mind, because how hard it is to go, oh, I get what you're doing.
Or to understand what censorship means. Also,
that's
the other thing. Like, the government did not take away your Twitter Russia bots.
Right. Also that.
Twitter
did. Also that.
It's just amazing.
Exhausting.
Yeah, there are many layers to that. But yeah, and I mean, what? And that's what. Yeah, I mean, it was with.
you know, refusal to look at information is a fascinating thing. Like, plenty of people have written about this, right? That we often won't even remember getting information if it doesn't agree with our own, you know, set of values.
Right.
That's well documented. Plenty of people have written about that shit. Fine. But something so overt, I cannot get my head around that.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I get before the evil bastards turned on the Parkland students and further enraged me, the thing that had really had my blood boiling this week was writing. I wrote about Trump's weekend Twitter meltdown,
which was
epic and bizarre.
Oh yeah, let's start with that.
And then the White House press briefing yesterday on Tuesday, where they have the audacity to just stand there and say President Trump has done far more in 1 year than against Russia, has been far tougher on Russia in 1 year than Barack Obama was in 8 years, which is absolutely, demonstrably, without question, a complete falsehood. I mean, just not even close. And B, it's not a damn competition either. But set that aside. But to have them not only just lie, but they're really just concocting this sort of fantasy world that you can't penetrate. And it's the same as what you're saying with the Russia bots on Twitter, that, you know, it's this idea of, you know, there is a truth, and that truth is what we say and what we want it to be. And any evidence you give us that might collide with that truth is false, and we just won't accept it. And so I made the mistake of, after writing about the TweetStorm stuff, of responding to several people just because I was unusually angry. And so I responded to a lot of reader emails from Trump supporters and said, you know, a lot of them saying things like, Mueller thing hasn't accomplished anything. But I responded, I'm like, have you read the indictment against the 13 Russians? Which, by the way, is the, what is that, the fourth indictment? And then you have two guilty pleas also. I read that indictment twice, and you should read it. Because if you give a crap about the country, you will see, you know, how carefully and in great detail and with supporting documentation it spells out what has been going on and what Russia's been trying to do to us. And maybe if you give a crap about the country, you should hope that your president would actually act on that somehow and not act like it's a hoax. And it doesn't matter.
But
I mean,
they
responded like, meh, I just don't think it makes any sense. And I'm like, well, fuck you. You haven't read the damn indictments. You haven't looked at anything. You're wading around in Sean Hannity barf. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous.
Sean Hannity barf.
It's absolute, and it's so maddening, especially, and we've talked about this before, we're in the business of truth telling and information dispersal and, you know, being accurate and all that sort of stuff, and to operate in as we do in when you've got people like this, it just is like banging your head against the wall. It's absolutely maddening.
I'm trying to find this tweet in particular. Here we go. That this was sent by the President of the United States blows my mind. There were many in the last week, but this one. If it was the, all caps, goal of Russia to create discord, disruption, and chaos within the U.S., then with all of the committee hearings, investigations, and capital party hatred. Who hates parties?
The left parties, man.
They have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They are laughing their asses off in Moscow. Get smart, America. What?
Yeah.
There's so much to that tweet.
So very much.
The other tweet that I cannot find is the one he sent talking about accusations against him, in which he says, you know, I did not kiss this woman.
Oh, right.
But like the defense he offers is there's security in the lobby.
Right. Yeah.
Which is exactly what a complete sexual predator would say.
Exactly.
Not like I would never touch someone without their consent, but like there's security. Why would I try to be a sexual predator in front of security guards?
I know I had that same thought. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, I mean, you just, what about, I love and respect my wife far, far too much to ever do anything like that. And I respect women and I would never. No, like I wouldn't do it there. Are you crazy, man? You get caught. Right. You do it in the back room where nobody's looking, man.
It's like, right. It's one of those things where like my, I'm friends with this couple and they were talking about a celebrity. I don't even remember who it was now. And she was like, I would get a hall pass for him, yeah, is what she was saying to him. And then later he was giving her grief about it, right? And just playfully. And she was like, oh, he's married. Oh, and also I super love you. You know, it was like, right, that kind, yeah, of, like, you would lead with that. Yeah, you know, like, they're exactly kidding. You would lead with, like, absolutely not. I would never touch another human being without their consent. Not, I mean, I would totally get busted if I would have done that. You don't lead with that.
Well, and the woman, the woman who's accusing him of that, immediately, she's running for office in,
oh, yeah,
Pennsylvania or Ohio. I forget which. They had a big Washington Post story. That's why he tweeted. But she immediately responded and said, please, I have been asking that they release the security tape.
Yeah.
If you feel this way, please absolutely release that security tape.
Right. Let's do this. Let's clear your name then, bro.
Also, he missed, like, where she says this happened and where he said it happened are not the same thing. So he's also just, I mean, this is like, it's absolutely crazy.
I mean, this goes back to, like, his refusal to just, he would argue any point just to be the one to make it.
Yeah.
You could be,
yeah,
like, we are in Chicago. Nope.
I disagree.
Okay, where do you think we are? Fine, sir.
Trump-stanistan. Right, Trump-ganistan.
Right. Like, what do you need? And it's a weird, I mean, I know you cannot, like, I'm not a mental health professional, and even if I was, I can't diagnose someone ethically who's not my patient. I get that. But also, I'm a human being, and I know fucked up when I see it.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
Dude is bonkers.
That is, I mean, real crazy.
Well, and also, think about the, it's not only crazy, but what amazes me, too, is the, you know, there's a part of me that could almost respect, like, diabolical and, you know, super kind of, like, scheming, smart, bad guy thing. You know, but he is so amazingly full of himself that he doesn't have any concern whatsoever that the things he's saying make no sense and often contradict, you know, each other. So, like, today he said,
constantly,
today he tweets something about basically calling on Jeff Sessions to investigate Obama because the Russian meddling was going on while Obama was president.
Oh, yeah, let me find that.
So the...
Here it is. Question. If all the Russian meddling took place during the Obama administration right up to January 20th, why aren't they the subject of the investigation? Why didn't Obama do something about the meddling? Why aren't Dem crimes under investigation? Ask Jeff Sessions! Exclamation point.
To which I responded something along the lines of, so Trump thinks that the attorney general should investigate Obama for not doing more to stop Russian meddling, which is a thing the president considers a hoax that shouldn't, right, be investigated.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's it. I mean, it, right, cancels each other out. It is
absolutely constantly, all day long.
Yeah, exactly. And he does it all the time.
I would also really like for the president of the United States, in fact, let's say anyone in a management position who has to write things, mm-hmm, I would like them to know when it is appropriate to capitalize.
Oh, God. Words. I mean, it's bizarre.
19 hours ago, whether we are Republican or Democrat, we must now focus on strengthening capital B, background, capital C, checks. Background checks are not, that's not a name.
Right.
You don't need to capitalize those.
Right.
And that would be fine if it was like, who hasn't made a typo in a tweet? But like, I want people in management positions that have to write things to be able to do so.
Yeah, and he does it all the time. Putting things in quotes that don't need to be in quotes is the other habit that makes me bananas.
Yes. Like, we could just sit here and read his insane tweets and make fun of them all day long because, yeah, they're so bad. I'm just sitting here looking at them like crazy. Cameras running, another false accusation. Why doesn't Washington Post report the story of the women taking money to make up stories about me? One had her home mortgage paid off. Only Fox News so reported. Doesn't fit the mainstream media narrative. What? This is outrageous.
It's outrageous. It is. And people forget that. They forget that. People are like, I write a column like I did earlier in the week about all these tweets.
Yeah.
And people are like, you're just so hung up on the president's tweets, you know, but it's results that matter. But I'm like, no, it's not. He's the president.
Well, he's not doing much in terms
Look,
of results.
If it
either.
Was Donald Trump, you know, celebrity jackass.
Who cares?
Then who cares? But he's the president of the United States. He could, markets could rise and fall on things that he tweets.
Right.
Tweeting from the president is the same as, you know, a formal statement from the White House or the president saying something on camera. So you can't ignore it. And the idea that, oh, he's just off the cuff, whatever, blah, blah, that, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't have that. What if like a CEO of Boeing or something like that was just this wild and irresponsible online. I mean, the company would be, the shareholders would be freaking
furious.
Out. And the company's stock would be like, meow, meow, meow. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just absolute lunacy to think that, oh, it's okay for the president. Again, you know, pundit A, B, or C wants to babble right and left. Look, I do it on Twitter. I mean, I'm a moron on Twitter, but he's the, like, I just don't understand why people don't take that more seriously. Like, when did they stop taking that seriously? I mean, Obama says something on a hot mic, and everybody flips out for
Obama
months.
Wore a tan suit, right? And everybody lost their minds.
Yeah. And so it's just the speed with which we went from the slightest little thing is unpresidential to, yeah, so he's a shit poster. Who cares? You know, it's just staggering.
That's a perfect way to say it. He's totally a shit poster. So. Well, and I think part of it is there's nothing you can really do about it.
Well, yeah.
You know, there's like a sense of helplessness. You're like, well, he's a shit poster. President shitposter.
Can't we impeach him?
Here we go.
For bad Twitter.
I mean, aggravated dipshittery is just not a crime. As much as I wish that it was, it is not a crime. In the Guth administration, aggravated dipshittery will totally be a crime. But until there is a Guth administration, that's, you know, we're SOL on that one. So I think there's that. I mean, we've been saying this for a long time, that there's like the sense of like, shit, how do we fix this? I can't do anything. I'm just one voter. I can't do shit, which is true. I mean, that I think that inclination is one we have to fight. I tend to, although you and I talk about national politics a lot, I tend to put my hope in local politics. I mean, it's pretty screwed up too, but I just think like, here's where things enter the bloodstream. Let's start there and guard it.
She's running.
Oh, no. I was like, are you shushing me? You're like, shh.
No, no.
I'm like, what is happening?
A, I would not do that. That would be very bad.
Also.
For my health.
For your well-being.
No, sorry. I was just trying to make a she's running joke.
I would call.
Like you were about to announce.
I would call your wife right now on the air and put my phone on speaker and be like, he just shushed me.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Show up. Yeah. Let's get him. That it would be done. You'd be done.
Yeah, I would be.
No, I'm not running. I don't have a JD. I don't know what in the hell. I'll be a press secretary for some wonderful person. I would do that job. I'm not going to run for office. I'm easily tired by people, I think. So watch, that's going to haunt me. Like in a year I'm running and I'm like, damn it, I said that thing.
It says here, I don't care for people.
Goof, doesn't like people, yes. Vote for me. Here's what it is. I am an introvert who plays extrovert well because you need to interact with people. You need to go, you know, I'm also a natural connector. So I like to connect people who are working on similar things to help each other win. So that part, would be the thing, like that makes me not want to run for office because you are on all the time. You cannot be an introvert. Doesn't mean shy. It means I need to have quiet time to recharge, and without that I'm kind of an asshole. Mm-hmm. So like that would make me a complete douche if I ran for office, because I would just be like short fused to be like, can I just sit down and work a crossword puzzle, please? Like I would just be in that mode and whiny and insufferable. But I would be glad to support a wonderful extrovert who would love to go schmooze and gets energy from crowds and people. Like, good on you. I am not that person.
But no, you're right. I apologize for slightly derailing where you were going with that. But
I don't know where I was going.
The local politics.
Yeah, that's where people enter the bloodstream. And that's why position papers are really important at the local level. And holding people to things. Like when we don't need to get into international politics or peace in the Middle East right now, but when Daniel Biss first had Carlos de Rosa as a running mate, and that fell apart over differing views about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that was, you know, a lot of people were like, who gives a shit? This is a gubernatorial candidate and lieutenant gubernatorial. Mm-mm. It's important to give a shit because you just have to win that first office to start your political career, you know, which is not to say you're set after you become like, you know, whatever.
Water board commissioner.
Yeah, whatever you become. Like, that doesn't mean you're set there, but I think it's important to, at micro levels, I think, you know, community organizers often become, you know, go into, seek office and at local levels and become alder people and, you know, all those things. And I think that's so important to push people on where do you stand on this issue, this, even things that are larger international. And I'm not saying that as coming down on the side of I'm not going there. I'm not talking about how that particular instance, but I just think that's so important, and it's important to put our efforts there because that is something we can actually do something about, and that can help you change a tide and get more people of like-minded nature into politics in the first place. Which goes back to the thing I was saying: like it's great that more women are running for office. Got to help them win.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and there's last night there were. I believe two special elections, one in Kentucky and one somewhere else that I apologize, I can't remember. But
your mom's house.
Democrat.
Sorry. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea why I did that.
My mom joke in here for no apparent reason.
I don't know why your mom's house just came out of my mouth.
Just because I mistakenly shushed you. But the Kentucky one was a Democratic woman who won by like 68% in a county that had, or a district that had voted by more than 50% for Trump. So,
which is like really no small feat. That's huge.
Yeah. But there was an interesting, I wish I could remember who wrote this, but it was an interesting take on a lot of these special elections, which I think are scaring the crap out of Republicans because the Democrats are winning a lot of these. But the candidates are focusing a lot on very local issues. Mm-hmm. You know, they aren't specifically running as a counter to Trump. They're just running on strong issues that people give a crap about, and they're benefiting from just the general sort of revulsion that a lot of people are feeling from Trump and the Republicans.
You know, that's interesting. I was thinking about that. I've seen two male candidates that have said, I'll take on Trump. Actually, no, three that have specifically said, I will take on Trump, even though, like, further down the stream, you know, like you wouldn't necessarily, like maybe two would have direct access to him, but like you also hold up. Like
yeah,
you can't do it single-handedly. That's a bold statement there, fella. Yeah. Whereas I feel like a lot of the messaging coming from female candidates is very local level.
Mm-hmm.
Very like, let's fix what we can and make it just awesome and make it tight and care for all of its citizens and really be a community. And let's like, it's a much more community organizer vibe from female candidates, generally speaking, not always. Then for men, it's really about like, it's almost this focus of like, I'm aiming way up here.
Yeah.
And this kind of over, even at the risk of overreaching, which is interesting, not surprising. Cause you know, hashtag patriarchy.
Well, and I mean, that's a character. I mean, men are, I think there's a, you know, that plays into a lot of different, I mean, from sort of general, like, machismo kind of crap to
well, the socialization.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Like, but the path that the female candidates are taking is going to be infinitely more effective. And honestly, I think, I mean, if things continue as they are, if things continue on pace going into the 2018 midterms, I don't think the Democrats really need to do very much. I'll stand up to Trump. I think they can just let Trump sort of speak for his own bafflingly moronic self.
Keep him in the court of public opinion.
And do what the candidates are you're talking about, which is just to offer. I think the Democrats get really hung up on messaging. Like, we have to be saying something. We have to. And I think you do, but I don't think you need to necessarily overthink it. I mean, if you're just saying, like, some pretty reasonable, we're going to help the Dreamers, you know, we're going to make sure people have health care that they need. Here's how we're going to do, you know, do your explanations of how you're going to do things. But, but yeah, I do. I think that the running as fierce opposition to the sitting president, who is like a giant chicken turd, then is not a good idea. I don't think, well, just because it's not necessary.
Right. Because that also, I still don't know shit about you, the candidate. Like,
right.
You can say, I'm going to go take out Trump. Great. And then what?
Yeah.
Your elitist ass will just be another elitist at the top who doesn't relate to me and the things I need and want in my life.
Right. Right.
So great. That sounds like an awesome plan, bro. Like, there's just too much of that.
Yeah. I mean, think of the contrast of someone who's talking sensibly and presenting reasonable ideas and solutions to various problems that people care about, while Trump is screaming at them and making up crazy, you know, saying that they're from Mars or whatever, that they've been in you know, taken over by aliens or, you know, some crazy conspiracy crap, then you're just doing fine. You don't have to say anything,
right?
You know, because he's just over there clobbering himself in the head, basically.
Sure. And I get that you have to send forth messaging in politics. And part of politicking is going out there and delivering a message that lands, that gets people excited. It gets people to believe in something. But I've said this before. At the end of the day, all that matters, it doesn't matter what your intention is. It doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what you do.
No, yeah, totally.
Really. I mean, and when I say, I mean promise. It doesn't matter what you profess to be doing, which is what Trump does a lot of. I'm going to bring back. He's a gunna. You know, I'm going to bring this back. I'm going to bring this job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to build this wall. I'm going to, like, you're not doing shit, bro.
Yeah, no.
You are all talk and, or all hat, no cattle, as some people say. And
I could have butchered that.
I know that you would have, so I said it for you.
Thank you.
So, because it would have come out like all shoes, no forest or whatever. I don't know.
No sandwich.
But you know, you again, like with anything, because we've talked about this before. Like when men in power have been called to the mat during the Me Too movement. Well, that wasn't my intention, which is such a bullshit non-apology that's existed forever. Like, wasn't my intention. Sorry, you took it that way. Nope, wrong. Your intentions don't matter. What matters is, did you touch that woman? Did you have her consent? Done. You're done. What matters in politics is not what you promise. It matters what you deliver. It matters, like, if you come out there and say, I'm going to make sure that everybody in my community has the health care and access to health care and health care they can afford, great. That's a great message. And that's, I think, one a lot of people can believe in. But then you got to turn around and do it. And that's, you know, that's a key issue.
Yeah.
Holding people accountable to things.
It really is. Yeah, I don't think we do a good job of that.
Right, which is why our profession matters, because we are supposed to hold, you know, we're part of what we're here to do is to hold people in power accountable for their actions, not just their promises, but their actions. When they do wrong things, when they misstep, when they do terrible shit, we bring that up and we don't let that go away.
Which is hard to do, though, again.
When
their truth doesn't seem to matter. And like I said, when you have the White House press secretary stand up and over and over and over again say things that are absolutely untrue, that everybody knows, everybody who lives in the realm of facts.
Of reality, right.
Knows is false. And it's that's what's so hard. And I that's what worries me, just because, you know, it is a form of brainwashing, I think. I mean, to get people to exist in this bubble where they just will not accept outside facts. And they're counter to those of us who are preaching actual opinions that are actually grounded in fact is, well, no, your facts are wrong. Without, you know what I mean? Like they say, no, you're the one who's living in a bubble. You're the one who is indoctrinated by all this liberal thinking.
Sure.
I'm like, it's no, like, it's not liberal. You know, it's, this is the truth, you know.
Facts. Well, it's like pretty classic widespread gaslighting that,
yeah.
You know,
right.
I think that a lot of, and I don't think propaganda is always necessarily a bad word. Sometimes it can be, you know, technically it also encompasses the things that get messages out into the world that are perfectly valid and truthful.
Like my, how I talk about my calves all the time.
For example, calf. That's very on brand for you.
A master of calf propaganda.
Right. That. Yes, that. But for the most part, like one part of creating propaganda and spreading, like making chaos and disarray to radically adjust the thinking and indoctrinate people is to gaslight them.
Yeah.
And like we've seen predators do that for years. We've seen all kind of fascists do that of just like, nope, 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 and stick to it and deny, 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 deny. Like, yeah. Nope, 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 nope. And then you make the people fighting who have the least amount of power in the equation think, am I crazy here? You know, when you get to that point, you have power over them on some level.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the time I've wasted when confronted by people who are coming from that arena and telling me I'm wrong, the time I've wasted double checking to make 100% sure that I didn't screw something up is massive.
Which, and lucky that that's in the realm of like your reporting.
Yeah.
When we're talking about like emotional stuff and more subtle, like soft skill sort of things, then it's tricky because it's easy to internalize that.
Yeah. Right.
Of, I mean, again, we've seen this with predatory behavior for a long time. This is another version of what was she wearing? This is this pushing, you know, pushing a narrative back on someone and blaming somebody for something is, we see this, like, that same dynamic play out in politics constantly, constantly. We've seen it micro and macro all around, and it's the same skill. It's just now with very high stakes and very dangerously done. I shouldn't even say now, because it's happened in history many times.
Yeah, just now it's, I think, a lot easier almost because of the platforms that people have and the way, you know, ability to get their messages out so quickly and to so many people.
I don't understand how no one is, like, he doesn't have a Twitter handler. Seems crazy to me. I mean, I know for a fact that many companies, like, I do, like, lots of different kinds of freelance, and sometimes I do some digital consulting. I have personally gone into companies where the CEO and even some members of senior leadership, like, have people that do the tweeting for them because they don't want to screw it up, and they, like, work with the communications people.
Sure.
And sometimes it is the communications people, like, tweeting on behalf of, and they have, like, crisis communication plans. And, like, the littlest misstep is 2 days of meetings. Even, like, how to handle a typo is, like, there's meetings of should we ignore it? Should we do this? How do we fix it? Like, there's so many considerations to that. So the fact that the President of the United States, who could literally, if he were to just tweet, like, hey, North Korea, fuck you, come at me.
Well, yeah.
It would be on like a Donkey Kong is what it would be.
That's what's scary, right? Because he has unfettered access to communicate to the an ability to communicate to the masses with no filter whatsoever, not talking to any of his advice. And I don't mean our filter, like a, you know, the Democrats, like, but I mean, like, a, you know, his own cabinet.
Everyone needs an editor.
Right. You're right, because he has to do is say, I'm going to bomb you bastards, and hit send, and good night, everybody. Right. Like, so that's...
Like, thank God the guy doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah,
imagine that guy with a couple of drinks in him being like, this will be funny.
Yeah.
I was just kidding. That wasn't my intention. Well, meanwhile, there's a nuke coming our way, or some horrible international incident has occurred.
Yeah. It's really not an exaggeration. I mean, the danger of that is astonishing when you sit down and think about it.
And I hate to be alarmist, because I really do think it's important to put our focus on local, not just local electoral politics, but local change making. Like, you don't have to be an elected official to make civic change. I really believe that. Just like I believe you don't have to be wealthy to participate in philanthropy. You can, you know, help organize drives, and, you know, you can do a lot without having an official, like, official position or official permission to do things. You can make a lot of change. So, I'm always in a little bit of conflict, because you can't ignore everything that's happening nationally because it's so bad shit. But also, you know, you want to put your effort in just making things real and come to fruition and communicate locally, and you know there's this balance, and but I think that's again where that comes in, where you're like, well, no matter what color I say the sky is, this guy's gonna say it's green, so screw it.
Yeah
Good times.
It is
good times for everyone. Let's see, has he tweeted since we've been on the air? Because that's happened.
Has he responded to us?
Has he blocked you? No.
No, he has not, actually. I'm quite offended by that.
He's blocked a lot of people. Wear it like a badge of honor when they'll, like, tweet a screen grab. They'll be like, Trump blocked me, or so-and-so has blocked me.
Yeah. I don't think Junior has either, even though I've come after
That's surprising, because you go after him a lot.
He's such a dumbass. Seriously. It's the worst. That guy is just the worst. I mean, he's a dirtbag. I mean, I have no... The crap he's spewed.
He doesn't strike me as particularly smart. I've never met the guy, but he doesn't strike me as particularly smart or savvy. And I think he's just kind of a doofus.
He apparently used to wet the bed in college a lot because he would, like, pass out drunk and, like, piss all over his bed. And so they called him, just this is according to various reports by college, you know, contemporaries.
Oh, geez.
So they called him Diaper Don. And
oh my God!
Again, I don't know if that's true. That was reported in a few different, slightly dodgy places and whatnot. But so my next step, if he keeps pushing this crap against the Parkland students, is that I'm going to create my own conspiracy theory about all of these people that are doing this being a bunch of some sort of cabal of bedwetters or something like that.
So, Well, I think there is validity to that. And I've only been entertaining this idea because somebody that I know brought this up of like, sometimes people that are so unbelievably ridiculous that no matter what, they're going to just deny and gaslight. Sometimes the only way you can deal with them is just by humiliating the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And just making them look like complete idiots in front of their base. Mm-hmm. Because even then, no, I didn't. Shut up. Like, even then, you look like a fool.
Right.
And your base has lost their kind of, he's our leader, kind of respect for you. Like,
yeah.
The sheen is gone. So I'm not opposed to that.
I'd be happy to lead the charge on that front.
It's all you, Hubby. Take it. Take it and run. All right. Well, that has done it. That is about it for this episode. I can't talk.
Yes.
That is it for this episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time. Don't be a douche on Twitter. Give some love to the kids in Florida.
Big
Seems
time.
Like they're working hard,
yeah.
Doing lots of things. And let's help them because they are not old enough to vote, but we are. So let's help them accomplish the things they're setting out to accomplish. If that aligns with your beliefs. And if you listen today, I'm guessing it did.
Yeah.
So good times, everybody. Everybody be cool.